Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I lost the top, so I went to my local Ace Hardware, and I got this one. So you think
you
I'm trying to
Yeti
project?
Top. Yes.
You think I'm trying
yes,
to peacock
out here?
Yes,
it's aspirational, and you're trying to have people say, look at him, he's done so well, he's got a Yeti.
It's very on brand.
Though. Yeah, thanks, Chris. Status. Well, Chris definitely has the soft cooler.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We have Yeti. Those, of course we have Yeti. I mean, that's, trips. You know, I got to keep up appearances.
It's the private school.
Yeah, exactly.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Are you still using that Yeti top?
Got my little millennial iced coffee with me right here during the swirl. Maybe I'll go to Ace later, the place with the friendly hardware folks.
Let me thank a couple of people here. Let me thank George Mallet. This beautiful drawing of a cardinal.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, the
beautiful,
boys will love that.
Beautiful cardinals in our backyard.
Okay, you take that home. Take that home and show them. It's beautiful. Let me also thank Tim Tian. Tim Tian writes, I hope you, your crew, are all safe. I was in Staples. I saw this gift card and started thinking maybe it would help you with your recent struggles. The $25 Burger King card.
Wow, that can almost get you to Whoppers, right?
You're going to have to cross state line for that.
I can no longer go to the Burger King that I went to whenever I went to Burger King. I don't know the closest Burger King.
There is no Burger King in Washington, D.C. that you can walk into.
None. So I have to go to Delaware.
I mean, you could probably go to Maryland or Virginia. It might be a little closer than Delaware, but yeah, let's Google map it.
Very nice of Tim Tian to do.
Sure, there's one in Arlington that's probably no more than 15 minutes from your house.
So also, Dan Byrne is playing tonight in Vienna, Virginia, or tomorrow night?
Tonight.
Tonight, Jam and Java.
Jam and Java. Doors open at 6:30, I think, and the show starts at 8.
We have a celeb guest who will be in attendance.
Who's going to be
Clint
there?
Clint Sanchez, the executive director
wonderful.
Of our first T-Chapter.
That's wonderful.
He's excited
that's
for
wonderful.
The show.
Go see Dan Byrne tonight in the way that you saw Ronnie Neumeier's group.
Yes.
A couple of weeks
hope
ago.
Hope he opens
absolutely.
Up his hen party.
What did I want to say?
There's a Burger King in Arlington. I think that's
I'm not going to Arlington.
You did have that.
I'm not going to Arlington.
Not going to cross the bridge?
No, I'm not going to do that. I want to get to a couple of things. I want to get to David Crosby first. David Crosby died yesterday at 81 years old. David Crosby, Jeannie wrote, do you think he'll get a key on the front or nothing? And I said, I think he'll get a key on the front of A1 at the Washington Post. And indeed he did. So I'm just going to talk just briefly about David Crosby. David Crosby, for those of you who are not my age, because I don't know that he's done anything in the last 30 years, really. David Crosby was a member of if you were to write down in 1960s music, whatever that period extends to, the 1960s, if it starts in the 50s, if it starts with the Beatles, if it ends at Woodstock in 1969, if it ends in 1973, whatever the parameters are that you say encompass the 60s in terms of music, he was in two of the 25 best groups. He was in the Byrds, and he was in Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I'm leaving out Neil Young. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Tell you a story about that. When the Beatles broke up, and the world was sort of bereft of great music other than the Rolling Stones and the Who and a couple of other groups, some rock and roll people became free agents, in effect. They left the groups they were in, and they formed what were called supergroups, in the way that LeBron formed what he called a super team when he went to Miami with Dwayne Wade and who was a center, consequential
Chris
center.
Bosh.
Chris Bosh. Okay, and they won a couple of championships, so they were a super group. The one that everybody expected to be the revolutionary group and take over was Traffic. Traffic had, look up Traffic for me, please. Traffic had, I think Stevie Winwood is one of the greatest singers of all time. And they got Stevie Winwood from the Spencer Davis group. I believe they got Eric Clapton.
Yes.
From Cream. Eric Clapton is conceded to be the greatest guitar player of all time. Did they have Jack Bruce?
No, that was Cream.
Okay, who did they have with drums?
Well, I see Chris Capaldi, Chris Wood, Dave Mason.
Okay.
Were the original members.
Okay. And they did an album called either Please Mr. Fantasy or Dear Mr. Fantasy. And it was reviewed very, very well. But at that same time, David Crosby from the Byrds and Steven Stills from Buffalo Springfield and Graham Nash from The Hollies put together an album that did not have anywhere near the anticipation that the Traffic album did. And it was a series of beautifully sweet and haunting songs to the point where most people comparing the two said, you know what? We thought Traffic was going to hit it out of the park, and maybe they did, but Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they killed it. It's still going. It went over the side of the stadium, and it's still going. David Crosby was not a lead singer. I mean, the most famous song he ever sang lead on probably is I Almost Cut My Hair, which is a political song.
Yeah.
But if we're going to use the sports metaphor that I just used for hitting it out of the park, David Crosby was a glue guy. He made everybody else better in every group he was in. He didn't sing leads with the Byrds. McGuinn sang leads with the Byrds. And if he didn't sing leads, Gene Clark sang leads with the Byrds. And Crosby didn't sing leads with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They were a harmony group. That's what was so different about them. The last harmony in rock and roll was the Beach Boys. And that was years. The Beach Boys, by the time Crosby, Stills, and Nash came out, the Beach Boys were doing something completely different, and they were typecast. They were typecast, and they were trying to break out of that typecasting. But Crosby, Stills, and Nash just made beautiful, beautiful music that is memorable, I think, to this day, unless you're young and you've never heard it, right? Are you familiar, Michael, with Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
I am, but I appreciate the history lesson because I know the songs. I don't know the stories behind the songs.
Yeah. David.
I don't know the moves.
David Crosby also, I think, became somewhat famous afterwards through artificially inseminating
Melissa Etheridge's
children.
Yes.
Yeah. David Crosby, I'm sure, I don't know, I haven't read the old, but I'm sure his story is the same as so many others. I'm sure he got in trouble with drugs.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure he became dissipated to some degree.
Time in prison.
Yeah, I'm sure he had to do, you know, they don't all spend time in prison, but
right.
They all go down the drain.
Yes.
And then they come back.
Yeah.
And the proof of them coming back is Mick Jagger's 80 years old.
And Keith Richards. Still around.
Keith Richards. You never, you know, you would have bet that Keith Richards went quicker. Like, you're making the bet in sports, you're making it on Tyson and John Daly and Allen Iverson. You're making the bet in rock and roll. Keith Richards won.
Yes.
He's won. He's not going to make it, kids. He's 80.
Yes.
Still plays.
But I read some of the comments by Crosby and about his time, you know, really battling alcohol and drugs and just being on the edge. And he said, I'm just angry at myself. Like, I wasted 10 years at least.
Yeah.
And one of the things he came to realize was that
I look forward to reading the obit.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, what I just said was not with the benefit of reading the obit.
I did find out one thing. We were incorrect about Clapton playing with Traffic.
Okay.
He played with Blind Faith.
Blind
which
Faith.
Was
That's the other supergroup.
Yes.
Right, so it wasn't Traffic.
Yeah, but he played, I think he went on stage once and played on Mr. Fantasy with Winwood. And everyone said, oh, they're going to get back together again.
Well, yeah, so Blind Faith, yeah, everybody thought that would be great too. But it wasn't as good.
Mm-mm.
And as it turns out, it wasn't as, and revolutionary is too strong a word, but it was directional. It changed music. It's like the first time you heard the Beatles, you went, whoa, whoa. It's like the first time you saw Star Wars. Oh, this is different. Oh, what are they doing? This is different. The Beatles were different right away. Crosby, Stills, and Nash were different right away. And you went, ooh, that's really something. They didn't last long, right? They took in Neil Young. It changed.
That when they're on stage at Woodstock, that's
pretty good.
Well, I think they say this is only like the third time we've played in front of people, so we're pretty scared up here. They sort of loosely say, and then they start playing, and you're like, well, this is like nothing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's different.
It's really different.
So I wanted to get that in, and if I'm wrong, you'll write me and you'll tell me, Tony, you're an idiot, and it won't be the first time. It won't be the first time. Got this letter from Cigna. I'm a case manager with Cigna. I've tried calling to talk with you, but haven't been able to reach you. I'm not going to give the person's name on the back. I've tried calling to talk with you, but haven't been able to reach you.
Are you adding the tone to this, or is it visible in the print?
No. I'm a case manager with Cigna. I've tried calling.
So nothing's like in italics?
No. I've tried calling to talk with you, but haven't been able to reach you. Oh, okay. So I have this letter, and the letter is fine. But the letter was sent out. The letter was sent out before the thing I'm going to tell you happened, which was 2 days ago. I got a call from this person. Again, I'm not going to mention the name. I got a call from this person. And I don't answer the phone when I'm working, and I don't answer the phone often when it's a call that I don't know who they are. But I listen to the voice message, and within an hour, I call this person back. Mm-hmm. Within an hour. And I said, you've been trying to reach me. I'm Tony Kornheiser. I just got your message. I would love to talk with you. This letter was already in the mail. This person had not. I listen to voicemails.
Yes, you do.
I never got a, if I had gotten a call, as I just did when I got the call, I called back within an hour. If I had gotten a voicemail from this person, from Cigna, you bet I would have called back.
So you think this is like a prevent defense? They sent that out early.
Yes, they definitely sent it out early. Well, maybe. Cigna, which again stands for, what is it? Consciously, I forgot already.
Ignoring?
Consciously indifferent.
Oh.
Gives no aid.
Right. Seems about right.
Right.
Yeah. So now when he said he was trying, maybe he just was trying mentally.
Thought about it.
Yeah, thought about it, but hadn't worked up to actually dialing the number
yet.
It's on
my to-do list.
Yeah. Let's try.
Like your new couch.
I would have done this. I would have, because I did call.
Yeah.
I would have called. I'm happy to talk to someone at Cigna. Happy to. I don't know that they're going to be happy to listen. But I'm happy to talk to someone.
Did you see that the CW is entering the sports space?
With Liv.
Liv finally has a home.
Yeah, yeah. But didn't we talk about that the other day, or did we not know it was?
No, it wasn't final. I mean, it was. I think it was teased because of Faraday's comments.
Faraday had said something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that a good? The question we had, that Wilbon and I had the other day, on Wednesday, I guess it was this a sign of strength or a sign of weakness? We both said sign of strength, because until you, like, it might be a sign of weakness if they were on NBC and then they went to the CW, but right, they were on nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They went from zero to something. And this is reaching 100 plus million households. The interesting thing is,
it's on my cable.
For the last couple of weeks, people thought they were going to have to pay to get this thing on anything. And then you were just in terms of the entanglements between who owns what, you're looking at who is now a very much a minority owner are two groups that have billions of dollars invested in the PGA Tour. But no, this is, who knows? When you think of the CW, do you think of golf?
Yeah, you think of golf
and
Gilmore
Riverdale.
Gilmore Girls
reruns, yeah, Gossip Girl,
Smallville.
You think of the
but
Gilmore
oh my God,
Girls.
If they could bring back the One Tree Hill opening scene.
Can I just,
with like Brooks Koepka pulling up the hoodie as he crosses the bridge.
On my cable system. On my cable system, CW's 803 and NBC's 804. It's right there.
It's very easy.
It's right there. I think this is a win for the Saudi Tour. Don't you? I know they have no rights fees, and I know they pay their own production. Those are monetary issues. They don't care about them in Saudi Arabia. If they're all in on sports washing for money, they don't care about money.
Yeah, eventually there's going to be a question of what they're getting in return. I think right now they're trying to see, as the commissioner for the PGA Tour, Monahan, said recently, now it's product versus product.
And that's right.
Now you're going to be able to see, as they start their new season in February, is there any interest in the general sports viewing audience to watch something like this that looks and sounds very different? If you look at what has happened to the PGA Tour streaming rights as it went from totally in-house with PGA Tour Live to various entities, and now it is with you at ESPN Plus, and they're able to track how much that streaming service has helped them, but also helped the network in terms of these early numbers. This is not exactly what they would have wanted. They wanted probably Amazon, something like that.
But they wanted Fox.
It's something. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it is going to depend upon how you reach the general public to say this is on. I mean, you got to do a lot of advertising. You got to spend a lot of money to reach the public to say this is on. And then it's product versus product.
Yeah, I think the harder thing here is also going to be, this is a worldwide tour. So when you're dealing with your first event that's in Mexico, I think that's going to be easier to get people to watch it at all. I think the secret sauce to this also is the new golf, you know, Netflix show. If you've been watching Breakpoint, Nigel, on the tennis tour, I think there's going to be people hungry for this. It's actually going to come out same time that,
and that's a PGA Tour show.
It's, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, their content it's about was their from players.
Yes.
PGA Tour players at the time,
right?
But the current to that is going to be the question of who's jumping to live, who got their name into it. So they're already teasing a lot of Ian Poulter, because he's someone who would have seen what this show did with Formula One. And he's also probably a player who knew he was going to jump and wanted to try and protect some of that legacy before he did.
I think he's a pretty smart guy.
I think, yeah, I
he's
think
a pretty
so.
Savvy
I think he's
guy,
always
Poulter.
I think he's always been out ahead of his skis in terms of, you know, managing where he was in terms of talent and sort of playing up.
Yeah, well, he was like a club pro.
He was an assistant club pro cleaning shoes.
Yeah.
Decided to be a tour player.
And
became a Ryder Cup legend.
And did it. Yeah, very admirable. We will take a break. Jason Lockenfora, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called All the Way Back. It's by a band called Divine Sweater. Divine Sweater is playing a show on Saturday, January 21st. That's tomorrow.
Yes.
At the Mercury Lounge in New York City. And then on January 28th at O'Brien's Pub in Boston. This is pretty good.
A pub in Boston called O'Brien's?
Yeah. This is pretty good. And this is a letter that we got from Cameron Tabatabai. And he says, the basis for Divine Sweater is my buddy Alex, a grad school friend and fellow teacher turned podcast co-host. In the interest of shameless plugs, the podcast is called Celtics Lab. But if you indulge, I have a quick story. A few weeks ago, I was covering a Celtics game. I'm no big cheese, mind you. They put me above the nosebleeds near where the banners hang when I cover games. Anyway, I found my assigned seat, which for this particular night was next to none other than Mr. Bob Ryan himself. I played it as cool as I could, but as a sports fan from Boston, this was understandably a big moment. The game got going, and I found myself eager to at least introduce myself. I turned to the most obvious and true point of the entry. Of entry, rather. Hey, Bob. If you don't mind, loved your recent hit on the Tony Kornheiser Show. From there, was off to the races. We talked about the Red Sox, about Mr. Tony's unapologetic apathy towards the NBA, about Trenton, New Jersey, about Dan Shaughnessy, and so much more. Per usual, thanks to you and the show for offering such great connective tissue. If either you or Nigel can facilitate, next up, I'd really like to meet Edith Saliza. Again, this is Divine Sweater, which I won't be talking through at the end of the show, and it's called All the Way Back, and they're playing tomorrow night at the Mercury Lounge in New York City, and they play in Jason Lockenfora, our favorite person. I'll start with this. The Bucks fired Sean Leftwich. Byron Leftwich, Byron Leftwich, and had enough guts to say they were firing him. Whereas the Baltimore Ravens fired Greg Roman and made it seem, actually put out a press release where he said he's stepping down to seek other opportunities, which is nonsense since you've been saying for weeks he was canned. What do these two things mean for the quarterbacks they now call plays for?
Well, Tom Brady's, that thing is over. I don't think there's much of a chance of him going back to Tampa. I think that's run its course. Talked to a lot of people in the league about this weeks ago at the Washington Post, and everything I was hearing back was that the moment their season ended, it was basically the end of Tom Brady as a Buck. That thing had run its cycle.
Right.
The roster, where they are as a franchise, you know, so many of the things that made them stand out to Tom Brady as a win right bleeping now option 3 years ago, it's just not the same. So it'll be on to the next one. So I don't think there's a correlation there. I just think Todd Bowles is going to have a chance to kind of put his stamp on it this year with his people. Remember, he kind of just inherited Bruce Arians' staff. You know, he went from being the coordinator to the head coach when Arians, you know, pretty late in the offseason decided that he was going to no longer be the head coach and he was going to consult or whatever. you know, in Baltimore, it had to change. It was going to change. It had run its course. This revolutionary offense, throw it back, you know, triple option, whatever. Something had to give there. There had to be some new ideas, some new philosophies, some different sort of sets of eyes, seeing things, and different voice calling the games. Now they're saying Lamar's going to have a role in that and whatever. I we'll see, Tony. I still think it's going to be exceedingly difficult. They've been at this for years with this young man, years, plural, and they've gotten nowhere. And now the franchise tag looms. And if he was willing to play for 23 last year, you know, if you don't give him everything he wants, he'll certainly go out there and play for 45 this
year. That's right. That's
right. Whether that's in Baltimore or somewhere else. And guess what? He doesn't have to sign that thing until week one, because when you're in the franchise tag, you don't get paid until week one. So I just don't think that in the real world, not the press conference world where we say what we have to say, in the real world, I'm not sure it's going to make sense having a new offensive coordinator, building an offense around a quarterback who might not show up until the night before the regular season starts. So I think that's pretty untenable for a team that's still telling you we're trying to win a Super Bowl. I mean, they went out of their way to say this is no rebuild. So I think he's traded. I think he's traded sooner rather than later. And whether they get some sort semblance of a quarterback back in that trade, or whether they then have to use some of those assets to get a Derek Carr or a Ryan Tannehill or what have you, remains to be seen. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember 2 days ago where Lamar Jackson putting up an Instagram post saying they didn't appreciate me, they didn't polish me up, they let me down. You know, when you have a good thing, this is how you treat it. And that's certainly not what they did to him. So I think there's a lot of work to be done there.
Yeah, Robert Griffin did that with Washington, except Robert Griffin had been hurt at that point and wasn't nearly as good. Not nearly as good as Lamar Jackson. I should add parenthetically that coaches do this. They get rid of coordinators to keep their jobs. That's how it works.
Yes.
You know, they throw everybody they have to. Excuse me. Not that they want to. Everybody they have to. They throw them over the side to keep their jobs. But let me get to the point you just made about the real world and the press conference world. Because every time we see John Harbaugh, every time, John Harbaugh, and now he's escalating the number. It was either 100% behind him or 150% behind him. Yesterday it was 200% behind him. Is this real?
No.
Is the relationship between John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson solid, or are there holes in it?
Well, I'm just, look, whether he may be whatever percent behind him now, but last Friday, he wasn't. I mean, Lamar, it's, you know, again, we can listen to what they say or we can watch what they do. On Friday, the day after Lamar Jackson put a Twitter post up explaining his, you know, his truth of his medical situation and what he was putting out there, which he didn't consult with the team before doing, John Harbaugh spoke about that situation for 2.5 minutes the following day. Never said the young man's name. Hid behind HIPAA laws, which is ridiculous. And clearly was not, they were not simpatico about the handling of that situation. Then he doesn't fly with the team to Cincinnati.
Yeah,
then
he wasn't there.
The Instagram post I talked about, you know, the Instagram story with the quote I was talking about, you know, what it means to appreciate something and what you do for something you actually appreciate. And then he sends out another Instagram story with half of his, you know, the back of his jersey and half of it's blacked out in purple, and instead of it being an 8, it says Jackson 0. So, I mean, however we're supposed to interpret that, clearly these are signs of him saying, hey, I left before everybody else cleaned out their lockers. I'm not going to be around to talk to the media, you know, but he still felt the need to put out his version of his reality before they got to stand before all the assembled media for an hour and say whatever the hell they wanted to say. So, again, you know, 100%, 200%. The bottom line is this owner, he's not 100% into giving Lamar Jackson what he wants. In fact, he's nowhere close to 100% into giving Lamar Jackson what he wants, and I've gotten no indication that what Lamar Jackson wants has changed whatsoever. So, you know, deadline spur actions. Maybe this franchise tag period brings something different out in Steve Bisciotti and he changes his tune. But short of that happening, they could be 5,000% behind Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson doesn't have a signed contract,
yeah,
he's not out there practicing football for them, and he's not out there playing football for them.
I borrowed that five or six times on television, your notion that Bisciotti doesn't want to give him a fully guaranteed contract. But it always leads to this question. If Lamar Jackson had hired a professional agent, as so many people do, I have a lawyer to negotiate contract. I can't do it.
Sure.
I'm good at X. I'm not good at Y. I'm not. Lamar Jackson is a really rare talent as a football player. That doesn't mean he's a good negotiator. Maybe Roquan Smith is a good negotiator. Maybe he is. Do you think if Lamar Jackson had professional representation, this would be different or no?
Well, I think it would be different, but that doesn't mean it would be worse. You know, the reality of agents is they, in this day and age, get less percent than, you know, 3% used to be the standard. There's a lot of guys out there doing contracts for 0.5%, 1%. It costs more to train them for the combine. You know, there's more upfront expense than ever before. The margins are very slim. And there's always this massive fear that I'm going to have done everything I needed to do to get this player ready for the combine, to maximize his draft potential, to start steering the early part of his career. And then I get kicked to the curb before we get to do the real contract. The first contract's not even negotiated. I mean, it's
slotted.
Right.
That's right.
So they're gonna go somewhere else. Somebody else will do it for 0.15% or whatever. And I'm going to lose them, and I'm going to be out all that money after the rookie contract ends. So if he had an agent, I think the deal may have gotten done when the Josh Allen deal got done, because the agent would have said, if you don't give us what that kid just got and a little bit more, you're not going to see us for the entire offseason program. And even though this CBA makes it really hard to hold out, we're going to threaten that like hell. We're going to go to the media. You know what I mean? We're going to tell them exactly what you've put on the table, how much you're disrespecting this player, how you think he's different than these other quarterbacks. You know, we're going to make it ugly for you. None of that happened. Lamar didn't say boo, didn't even put out a passive-aggressive Instagram post. Just played it out. You know, happy-go-lucky at that time still. So the rubber didn't hit the road then.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that he's not in a better position now, because at some point the agent would have caved. The agent would have said, you're really not worth what you think you're worth. We better take the bird in hand right now.
Okay.
They're going to get you hurt. You know what I mean? We need to cave. Now, is that agent doing that because it's absolutely true? Or is that agent doing that because at that point in time it's in his or her best interest to steer you that way? I mean, there's a lot of bad contracts that get negotiated in this league all the time. And there's some of the same culprits who do it over and over and over again. That's the dirty little secret. Now, we could quibble what he should have made last year and this and that and the other, but 23 this year, 45 next year. If you have the stupidity to tag him beyond that, we're talking 60. So that's 130 in rolling guarantees right there, and he's still walking out your door at age 28. So is it the way it would normally go down? You know, could he have made a little more money, or maybe a lot more money, sooner? Yes. But I don't think any agent would have gotten him to this point. And right now, he's at the point he needs to get to, which is once a quarterback gets on a franchise tag, forget about it. You've got them over a barrel.
No, you're right. Look at Kirk Cousins. No, you're 100% right. I'll switch gears utterly. I guess I'm stupid because I made fun of the fact when we introduced Steve Young, I made fun of the fact that the Cowboys were getting 2.5 less days rest than San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Young said, that's a big deal. It actually is a big deal. What do you make of that?
I like the Niners in this spot for a lot of reasons, and that is one of them. And it's not even so much that, you know, this week, which we're focused on, and them playing a Monday night game and them getting back to Dallas really, really late and it cutting into their time. Excuse me. But they go to Tampa, and then they go to San Francisco. That's a lot of travel. You know, they had the week before that where they're playing a game. They don't really know who they're playing against. You've got the specter of the extended rest and the, you know, and I don't think, I mean, the 49ers played the Raiders like January 2nd. They've been in their own beds since then.
Yeah.
I mean, they've spent the month of January home, getting all our regular treatment, you know what I mean, sleeping in our sort of mattress or whatever that's set to our settings, like all those creature comforts in my hyperbaric chamber in my basement. Like, I think you're talking about, you don't know, 3 weeks of that. Like, while Dallas is scrambling and playing games all over the country, I think that matters, and especially with a quarterback like Brock Purdy, being at home really matters. I mean, that's one more thing he can settle into and know that, you know, he's not going to have to fight the crowd. He's not going to have to fight any of that stuff. And I think they're the better team. I think they're the more balanced team. I think they're the team that over the last 5 or 6 weeks has certainly been playing the better football. But a lot of people I've talked to this week are on the Cowboys. So I think the 49ers might lay it, you know, lay it on them. But I find myself in a minority. And a lot of sharps are on the Cowboys here. But I think there's going to be a tough matchup for Dallas. I just think that on both sides of the ball, they're going to have to really bring their A game.
I'll get you out of here on this. You said that Tom Brady is going. You have a column in the Washington Post today where you list the four most reasonable opportunities. So I'll get off Brady and tell people to read the Washington Post. Is Aaron Rodgers going? Mr. Passive Aggressive, he's going, right?
He wants to play somewhere else.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Again, a week ago I told you, this cat's going to be traded. He's going to angle this thing. Because he's now at the point with where Brady was at the end with New England, which is, okay, I hung on for a couple years longer than I should. Now, unlike Brady, he wanted all the money. He wanted to rub their face in it. He wanted the most player-friendly contract possible that put them in the most difficult possible situation to build their team. He did that twice. They let him do that twice. That's on them. But now he's done with that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Randall Cobb's done. You know, the left tackle might be done. His boys aren't going to probably be there. It's not the same roster it was 3 years ago. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not that. But he told you. He told you what I told you he was going to tell you. When he talked to Pat McAfee, I still think I can win an MVP. They're the ones holding me back, not me holding them back.
Every single word he says,
Baker Mayfield
strategic.
And Desmond Ridder were better than him while the Packers were on their 4-1 run down the stretch. And I could probably go somewhere else and still do that. So, you know, I'm just going to have to think on this one. Like, yeah, good luck, Mark Murphy. He's going to screw you again, bro.
Yeah. All right. Plug your radio show for us, Jason.
You can listen to me ramble and opine along with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace, or at least the days that Ken Wyman feels like his throat is up to him being able to post to show up for work, which this week was not at all.
It's a great instrument he's got.
I think we were better without him, I got to say. Mm. He was holding us back, perhaps.
There you go.
So 2 to 6, you can listen to Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, or you can stream us at www.1057thefan, or listen to us in podcast form or straight through on the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Jason. Talk to you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Jason Lockenfora, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back allegedly with James Carville and probably with Jeff Ma. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Distraction, distraction, it's all about distraction. I'll show Michael cute pics of Bootsy Hammer and the captain. And when Mr. Tony's finished with the emails, finished talking, I'll tell Mr. Tony that Chessie needs a walk-in. Finally, I'll distract Nigel with this small finagle. Over there, bagel sandwiches from Bethesda Bagel. And when distractions are complete and no one's on the beat, I'll whistle and the guys will drive a motorhome up the street. I promise we won't cut the wires or mess up Tony's cable, but I'm stealing Uncle Benny's table. I've had my sights on it for years. For a long time now I've known it. I just gotta own it. The stories, the secrets it must hold. Freud playing poker, I must fold. Dillinger, his body growing cold. Where Houdini used to hide his gold. I respect the nails and varnish I've held off as long as I am able. But today I'm stealing Uncle Benny's table.
Dan Byrne is brilliant. He has different melodies all the time, different words all the time. He's playing at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia tonight. Go see him. James Carville joins us now. James was 3-3 last week. Almost everybody, well, everybody other than Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd was the only winning record last week. But James is 68-41-3. And this leads to something we're going to play now from MSNBC on the Ari Melber show. And I have heard of Ari Melber. I mean, I thought he was an economics guy. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I have heard of him. Let's hear James and Ari from last night or
The other day. Yeah, recently.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sports fan, I'm 70-40 publicly against the spread on Tony Kornheiser.
Who is Tony?
Tony Kornheiser.
Who is that?
The PTI guy on ESPN.
Okay.
Okay, I pick against the spread. I think I'm 70-40 over the year, and I'm 20-0 on my blue plate specials. So listen in. I might have a hot one this weekend.
Okay.
Did it occur to you, at what point did it occur to you that you were talking to a stone? He had no idea what you were saying.
I go, I thought I was 3-2-1. I thought the Bengals were a push.
I don't think so. I thought it was 7.5. I thought there was a half point in there somewhere. I don't know.
In New Orleans, where I pick on the Advocate website, it was 7. I thought it was 7. I thought it was the greatest push of my lifetime because Baltimore was really good. I underestimated them.
Wait a second. So I've got Baltimore plus 7.5. I've got 7.5. Right? So
the all right. Y'all stiffed me. Okay.
Oh, everybody had that number. Everybody had that number.
It was 7 everywhere. Okay.
All right. So 7. All right. So push.
We'll give it to you.
We're giving it to you.
We'll give it to you, James.
We're giving you. So you're 68-40-4.
Okay.
Okay.
I will exaggerate. I wasn't 70-40.
That's okay. You're close. Yeah. You're 68-40-4.
I'm in politics. We get to shade the truth a little bit.
Well, no, you get. No, the new word is you get to embellish. Like George Santos. Get to embellish.
All right.
You didn't lose. Wrong. You lose-ish. That's all.
There you go. Yeah, my grandchild is coming any minute, and it's going to be actually Jew-ish.
There you go. All right. So are you going to pick them all? There are no college games to fall back on. Are you going to pick them all?
I'll pick all four. So I'm going to drop name here. I had lunch with Archie Manning yesterday,
Ooh.
And all 8 starting quarterbacks came through the Manning Passing Academy.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And he also told me that Trevor Lawrence was the prototype of the perfect NFL quarterback.
Is that right? He likes him better than anybody? Okay.
He's close to, like, probably develop. I don't know if he's saying right this minute, but...
Numbers you have? Will you tell us what you think the odds are? Let's start with Jacksonville, Kansas City, right?
It's 8.5.
Jacksonville plus 8.5, yes.
Take the Jags.
Really?
We'll go with Trevor Lawrence here. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I see it here as 9. Would you like 9?
You want 9 and get 9.
I'll take 9.
There
I'll
you
take
go.
9.
Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, Jacksonville will have they're not a little better than, you know, I don't think they'll win the game, but that's a lot of points.
Yeah, you're taking points. You're not thinking they're going to actually beat Kansas City, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay. What's the Giants line?
I don't care.
What's Giants line?
I've got it at 7.5. Philly giving 7.5.
Yeah, 7.5. This is the conventional pick, but I'm going to make it anyway and take the Giants.
Okay.
Because, you know, the third time you play a team, it's hard to beat them bad. And, who was that? Stephen A. Smith said that Daniel Jones was not up to being an NFL quarterback. Well, that didn't turn out to be too good, did it?
No, you make mistakes on TV.
Yeah. I've done it all the time.
So. Yeah, well, more than that, like the last time I talked with Ari Melber, he was saying he was saying that he loved Jimmy G. I don't know. Okay. Cincinnati?
I've got Buffalo giving 5.5 now.
That's what I got too, man. And I'm taking Cincinnati
because you love Burrow.
Take a lot to throw me off that horse.
Yeah, you love Burrow. I know. And Dallas, San Francisco.
we got now San Francisco giving 4.
That's the only favorite I'm taking.
You're going to take San Francisco. You and Chuck Todd.
Tony, I'm going to tell you the most undercover story in sports. Olivia Dunn, D-U-N-N-E.
She's the gymnast from LSU, right?
TikTok star.
Right. She cannot. She's six in every athlete in NIL, and she can't go to class because the boys give us, and she was in Utah, they had to get security in Salt Lake City.
Really?
That's crazy.
It's a huge story. They're doing a segment on the Today Show today.
I thought that was the Post had this story the other day. Yeah, Post had this story. Yeah.
Yeah, they had it. I mean, but this athlete is, they have a meet at LSU with Missouri on the SEC network. I'm a watching, and they get more people go to the gym to meet and go to a basketball game.
Did you see there was a quarterback who got out of his commitment, I think, to Florida because he was expecting $13.5 million in NIL?
By the way, I'm going to tell you something right now. LSU is going to be really good next year. Really good.
In football?
They just... Oh, yes.
Yes.
They just signed Oregon State all Pac-12.
Yeah.
They're going to be really... I mean, I'm not saying... They're going to be up there with Georgia and Alabama. I promise you.
Okay.
They're going to be good.
Yeah. Well, that would be good. That's the reason Brian Kelly went. To win, he's not, makes no bones about it, to win a national championship.
Yeah, that's that. Yes. And you know, that's how it'll go. I mean, no, you know, we're like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
Why not just say what you're setting out to do?
Oh, that's why that's why you go get Kim Mulkey to coach women's basketball.
Yeah.
To win a national championship, right?
By the way, they play at South Carolina on the afternoon of the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
That's going to be, I don't know, we quite South Carolina yet, but I would have trouble betting against Kim Mulkey. But South Carolina is really, really
good. They're great. All right. Thank you, James.
Okay.
Good luck.
You bet.
Thanks for Ari Melber. Appreciate him. Come on.
Who's that?
I don't even know. Who was that?
Okay.
He doesn't sound like a sports guy, does he?
No.
Ari Melber. In fact, I can imagine. I didn't see
Aren't you trained to fill in that moment? Oh, where was he before? Where can you find? What time is that on?
We got this. Somebody sent this to us.
The transcript?
Sent us the transcript. Bernie Woodall sent this to us.
Typed it out word by word.
Yeah, Bernie from Fort Lauderdale. I mean, I'm just going to take a guess that Ari Melber is not a sports guy. I mean, that's a guess on my part. So that when James says to him, 70 and 40, pick him publicly, he doesn't know what that means. Not only doesn't he know me, he has no idea what Carville is talking about.
Deer in a headlight.
Yeah.
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 Like he's thinking, is this my show? Am I supposed to do something here? I've lost control of the show.
But James doesn't let it go. That's great. No. James' frustration when he doesn't know who you are is fantastic.
Blue Plate Special.
Yeah.
This is
Tony.
This is the greatest thing. This is simply the greatest thing that ever happened. Is Jeff with us?
Jeff is with us,
Jeff missed that. He's going to have to go back and listen to it and hear it, the Carville thing. All right. Jeff was 3-3 last week. Jeff, of course, gives us Bet the Process all the time, which everybody listens to, we hope, with Rufus. And Jeff is 52-40-1. There's only 7 games left. So if you've bet with Jeff Ma, you can't lose over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If you have religiously bet with him, you have won. You must feel a little bit good about that, right, Jeff?
I mean, it is like a religion, right? So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. I actually feel good about the fact that the last few years here, been pretty good to be over 500 with you, so it's been a good ride.
Good. That sounds like you're leaving us.
No. Okay, I would never leave you.
Dad,
I mean, you know,
Dad,
Tony, I'm actually turning 50 this weekend, so it's a big moment for me.
Well, happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you. Happy
would
birthday!
Love to get the whole team out for the birthday party, but it's a pretty late invite. So,
and well, it's okay, but we'll be there in spirit. We'll be there in spirit.
There you go.
All right, let's go. Jacksonville, Kansas City.
I'm going to take so this is a game, obviously, that was played earlier. It's a game where, you know, the teams are very different then, and Jacksonville's offense is much better. I think it's a game that's going to have a lot of scoring. The thing that I really like here is the over. I think Kansas City will probably – I like them to cover the 8.5 also, but the real play for me is the over because I think both teams will be able to score – I think we've talked about this, that Peterson is a coach that's going to continue to take chances. It's almost like he's playing with the house money, so to speak.
Yes.
And with that, you have a sort of a distribution that you create where I think if you're going to bet Jacksonville, you want to probably bet the money line. But I think, and if you're going to bet Kansas City, you kind of want to bet the point spread because there is a chance that it could get out of hand because of the chances that he takes. And I think that will lead to more scoring both from Kansas City and Jacksonville. So really what I like here is the total over 453.
Okay, well, I will certainly write that down as well as you taking Kansas City. Andy Reid coming out of bye weeks is like 4,002 over the course of his career. All right, Giants, yep. Philadelphia.
So a situation here where I think the Giants are getting a little bit too much love based on their win against Minnesota. That was a great situation for them. Minnesota had a terrible game plan, had a terrible defense against them, and they got into a situation where, you know, I think Philly has been sort of become underrated now because of the fact that they are, you know, they've been sort of ignored because of their early season performance. So I like Philly minus the 7.5. I think the Giants just were in a great situation last week, and Philly's now being kind of underrated because of the fact that, you know, their start was so great, and they kind of like slowly came to where they are now. But they got the bye, and, you know, that's what's going to get them the win and the cover here.
You're going to take both bye teams, right?
Yes,
okay.
Both bye teams.
Okay, Cincinnati,
and
Buffalo.
Actually, one play that is kind of interesting for people is if you could take Kansas City and Philadelphia in a tease, which I know Chuck Todd has talked about, that's a pretty good situation because the bye gives them a little bit of value, an extra, you know, half a point or something like that, and then home field and all that. So that's all built into the line somewhat, but a tease, 6-point tease, getting it to 2.5 and 1.5 for both of those favorites is a pretty strong play here.
Yes, that would seem to be. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, what about Cincinnati-Buffalo?
I like Buffalo minus the 5. I think Cincinnati's offensive line problems are built into the line. People are thinking about it, whatnot. But I do think it's going to be too much for them to overcome. And to be honest, I think this line should be a little bit higher. I think it should be 6, 6.5. I know you talked about earlier this week that you thought this was too many points for a good Cincinnati team. I think if Cincinnati were totally healthy, that might be true.
Uh-huh.
I do think that the offensive line is a problem. I worry a little bit about Josh Allen and sort of the carelessness that he's had with the ball recently, and I think that's the only way that Buffalo doesn't cover this game is if Josh Allen makes some passes that lead to interceptions and they turn the ball over.
So this is interesting. Josh Allen had a bad game. His last game was a bad game. Nobody had a worse game than Dak Prescott against Washington.
Oh.
And the next week, he was flawless. He was flawless the next week. So maybe Josh Allen will have that kind of rebound. And I also, the only thing I worry about, we've talked about this a lot, I'm going to assume that DeMar Hamlin's going to be at that game if he can physically be at that game. And if that puts too much pressure on Buffalo, do you factor any of that in, or do you just say, no, I can't deal with that?
No, I mean, I think it's hard. All these things, see, this is the thing with analytics. Like, people will say, oh, well, you can't measure this, you can't measure that. And they're absolutely right. You really can't measure a lot of this stuff. But you try to measure everything that you can, and then you put it into a model, and you do what you do. But, yeah, those motivation factors, one way or the other, just like you said, I mean, one, they might be extra motivated.
Yeah.
Two, there might be almost, like, too much excitement.
Yeah.
And they make some difficult decisions. So, again, going just back with the numbers, you know, Buffalo should be favored by a little bit more than 5.5. Cincinnati has injuries on the offensive line that are forcing Burrow to you know, get the ball out early. And I like the Bills here.
Okay. Last one is Dallas at San Francisco. Dallas getting 4, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Yes. This all comes down to like Purdy and what you believe about Purdy. What do you think the line in this game would be if Garoppolo were playing?
I think it'd be 7 or 8.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just depends on what you think about Purdy. So Purdy, you know, we had Mina Kimes on the podcast this week. She actually liked Purdy better than Garoppolo, thinks he can do more stuff out of structure when a play breaks down. With Garoppolo, you kind of know what you have. Purdy probably gives the Niners a little bit more upside, a little bit more opportunity to win. You know, Rufus thinks this line should be closer to Dallas. I mean, San Francisco only favored by one, so he likes Dallas.
Wow.
Again, that's because of how he's modeling Purdy versus Garoppolo. He thinks this line would be right if it was Garoppolo. I like San Francisco. I think the, you know, 3.5, 4 is reasonable. Again, and it all comes down to what you think Purdy is. I mean, history would tell us that a quarterback in this situation with this level of experience is not going to do very well, but there is just not a large sample size on that. So ultimately, you know, you're kind of, if you're betting San Francisco here, just betting that Purdy is an outlier.
So you bet all home teams. Is there any statistical model for this week in the playoffs that favors home teams to that degree?
Well, I put this out on Twitter that in the last 20 years of the divisional round, the team that has scored the most points in each game is 80-0.
Yeah, but of course. I mean, come on. Yes.
That's me making fun of trends.
Okay.
Like, these trends are arbitrary. The endpoints are arbitrary. They're, you know, it's really hard to sort of, and the problem with historical trends like that, if you look at them, is the market is not a static thing. It will adjust to these trends. So if you say, like, oh, in the divisional round, you know, the favorites have been blah, blah, blah. I mean, everyone knows that, and everyone will adjust to that if the market doesn't adjust. So, or if there's a reason why those trends exist. So,
thank you, Jeff. And people can listen to Jeff and Rufus on Bet the Process. And good luck with this. You and, I know you don't want to hear this, you and Reginald picked the exact same line. You and Reginald. Now,
why
Reginald didn't take the over.
That? I'd rather be tied to a monkey than a political pundit.
Thank you, Jeff, and happy birthday.
Thanks. Bye, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We will come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I went shopping yesterday. I went into the ice cream aisle, but something caught my eye.
Got a surprise tonight at Safeway. Yes, it's true. Went for the Tillamook just like I always do. You want to know what? How about two cartons of Häagen-Dazs? I'm shopping bags of full tonight. I bought two cartons of Häagen-Dazs. I bought two cartons of Häagen-Dazs.
$2.94 for Häagen-Dazs. And I got two dark Belgian chocolate chips. It's brilliant. It's not any money. It's not two tickets to paradise. It's two cartons of Häagen-Dazs. It's Steve Lipton in Springfield. It's just brilliant.
It is fantastic.
Absolutely
Thank
brilliant.
Thank you, Steve.
Absolutely
Eddie
brilliant.
Mahoney, right? Was that his real name?
Yes.
Yes.
His dad was a cop.
That's right.
Cop,
that's
Mahoney.
Right.
I think he grew up really close to Brian Kenny.
Oh.
On Long Island.
No kidding.
The worst is now whenever I go to the Safeway, I walk your steps as I go down the ice cream aisle just to see if anything's different.
You want to do the Bethesda Bagels ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com, forward a location in the D.C. area nearest you, then pop on in, and you'll be thrilled.
That'll do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say 8 miles high, and when you touch down, you'll find that it's stranger than known. Signs in the street that say where you're going are somewhere just being their own. Nowhere is there warmth to be found among those afraid of losing their ground. Rain, great town, known for its sound. In places, small faces unbound. Those are the birds. The lead singer in that song is McGuinn, obviously, but David Crosby's in that song, 8 Miles High.
Yeah, and wrote some of the lyrics,
so
too.
So this is our tribute to David Crosby. Thanks to our guests today, Jason Lockenfora, James Carville, Jeff Ma. Thanks to our sponsor, Liquid IV. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. So we've got from Mike in Evanston, Illinois. My dog isn't smart enough to mimic passing emergency vehicles. However, the other day after I drove through the Burger King, she turned to me and she said with contempt, I can't believe those prices. Aren't dogs the best?
Smart dog, yes.
From Warren Nagler in Elk Grove, California. While my dog Buster, yes, he's named after Buster Posey, may not howl at the moon, sing with an ambulance siren, or bark at the Amazon delivery driver, he has the most sensitive hearing of any dog I've ever owned. He runs away from popping noises, beeping fire alarms, and firecrackers, among others. However, over the holiday season, there was a new trigger to his paranoia, Mariah Carey. Yes, when her holiday special was being promoted on TV, we noticed that after the end of the commercial, Buster would get up and leave the room. It happened every single time that commercial came on. It didn't matter if he was sleeping or playing. If he heard that song and the high-pitched final note, he took off and ran out of the room. It gives a new meaning to a sound only dogs can hear. She may not be the official queen of Christmas, but she sure cast a spell over Buster. Guess that's one song we need to remove from the holiday playlist for next year. Elk Grove, California, I believe, is the hometown of Bill Cartwright. He's a former center on the Chicago Bulls and the center on a really, really good San Francisco team, University of San Francisco. From Scott Feist in New Baden, Illinois. Mine was a large, full-blooded Labrador retriever named Ruckus. He fit the name. He didn't do ambulances, but he would sing at certain jets going over, depending on the type of jet and engine. It was funny for a while, but we lived on an Air Force base. The amusing part was short-lived. From Chris Patterson, Pompton Plains, New Jersey. My rescue named Paco, who's a Chihuahua and Beagle mix, whose only features of a Beagle are his folded ears, howls to the town fire siren in perfect harmony. Not only does he howl to the town fire siren, he howls in harmony to the following things on TV. The Law & Order theme song. Wilbon would love that because he watches only Law & Order.
Yes,
the Family Guy theme song. The progressive commercial that features Limu Emu, where the guy screams in the elevator, no, no, Limu Emu's not progressive. It's Liberty Mutual.
That's right, it's Liberty
it's
Mutual.
Liberty Mutual.
Liberty Bibbity.
In fact,
right.
With his progress, that commercial's great. Should I riff here? That commercial's brilliant.
Line.
In fact, with the progressive commercial, he knows when it's coming on because his folded ears pick up and he stands up like he's prepping for a solo. Every time any of those come on, it's a max dash to mute the TV, especially during nap time of our 13-month-old. He tries so hard when he howls to all of these things that he inevitably starts coughing. How do you teach a dog to howl from a diaphragm? From Grant McGuire, our friend in Huntington, West Virginia. How is it you can't sing, but you can howl pitch perfect? You need a midnight radio show like Wolfman, Tony.
By the way, you were correct. Bill Cartwright from
Elk
Grove.
Of course I'm correct.
You know who else is from
Why
there?
Why would you bet against me? No, I don't know who else is.
Scott Boras.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's Northern California, I believe.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah, that's why he would name a dog Buster, because Buster Posey played for the Giants.
Sacramento County.
From Mike Wickham in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Let me add to the collection of items our dear dogs have consumed. This was many years ago, late 70s. My wife at the time and I had a wonderful, loving black lab. She was the runt of a litter of 9 and the sweatiest, I think he means sweetest, gentlest dog ever. It was Lebatard's dog would be sweatiest, but sweetest. Now, back in those days, we didn't have much. We drove a 1972 VW Beetle, an original one, not the more modern style that came along after. If you or listeners have never been in one, they were pretty sparse. The dashboard was maybe 1 or 2 inches thick, and you sat right up to it. The glove box had an odd-shaped metal door that was held closed with a rotational clasp. Now, we, along with said dog, has visited my mother one Saturday. Upon leaving, Mom gifted us with a bag of fresh baked cookies to take home. On that journey home, we passed a yard sale along the way. Could have been a lard sale, too. Again, not having much, it seemed a great opportunity to maybe find something useful at pennies on the dollar. Before we exited the car, my wife stashed the cookies inside the glove box. We were out of the car for maybe 5 minutes max. Upon return, my wife opened her door and exclaimed, "Oh no, what happened?" I looked in to see her seat was covered with some strange black plastic with some kind of foam attached. It quickly became apparent that the dear dog had chewed the dashboard off all the way around the glove compartment door.
Whoops.
Luckily, none was consumed, and somehow the dog managed to keep her happy home.
Did you get to the cookies?
I guess she must have eaten all the cookies.
Well, I hope after
from
that.
Ross Davis. It's just our friend Ross Davis who managed the hotel where I could park when I had physical therapy.
Oh, that's right.
Ross Davis in Alexandria, Virginia. I can finally play a game besides being the official valet parking provider for medical purposes of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Our late dog Buster.
Spot.
Is everybody being naming their dogs Buster? A German Shepherd mix would howl on a regular basis whenever there was a siren passing by or if someone was playing the flute close by. He would raise his head like Snoopy the Beagle and let it wail. On another note, one Easter, my then Shiksa girlfriend, well, she's still a Shiksa, but now she's my wife, had a chocolate Easter bunny on the center of her dining room table in a plastic box. Buster removed the chocolate bunny, ate it, and put the empty package back in the same spot.
Oh, that's a smart
as if
dog.
Nobody had touched it. The only evidence was the missing bunny and a little chocolate on his nose. While we're playing this game, my birthday is 227, my late brother's 328, great numbers. My hometown, Ridgefield, Connecticut, has had a number of famous residents, authors Richard Scarry or Scarry, Maury Sendak, Obama speechwriter Cody Keenan, Typhoid Mary Mallon, fellow Little Mike Ruvo, actor Robert Vaughn, who used to drive around in town in his Rolls Royce, and my father would say, that's the man from Uncle. I had no idea who that was. But maybe most important, the late, great Jimmy Steinman was a resident. I haven't been on Chuck and Roxy's Laura Little's podcast yet. Maybe I should. And this leads me in unexpectedly to a story with which we will close the show. I was at Columbia yesterday, and I was walking in the pool in an attempt to help prevent and avoid an operation on my back. It was the third time I was walking in a pool, and I was up to about 25 minutes. I got out of the pool, took a shower, put on my clothes, got in my car. Turned on my car and noticed that on the radio was a picture of a song they were playing on a particular station. And it was Air Supply. And it was Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
Oh.
And I knew this song. And I happened to turn it on in the absolute beginning of the song. And so I got the entire song. And I tried very hard to discern all the lyrics. The lyrics come at you at 90 miles an hour. And the production is... If Phil Spector had a wall of sound, this is nine walls of sound. This is a Jimmy Steinman song. And I marvel at the fact that Jimmy Steinman could take people who were not necessarily great singers on their own, like Air Supply, a pop group, or like Bonnie Tyler, didn't have any other real hits, not like Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah.
And he could write these songs and produce these songs for these people. And, you know, I know, like, I get to the part where he says, and I can make all the stadiums rock. And I just started screaming, I can make all the stadiums rock. I don't know all the lyrics from the song. I know a lot of them. And I got home, and I got on the phone. I didn't even get home. I called in the car. I called my friend Peter Lazarus, who is a doctor in Fort Worth, Texas, and who was the best man at my wedding many years ago. And he gets on the phone. I said, Peter, we're pretty smart, but this guy's a genius. And I put another word in front of genius to emphasize what kind of genius he was. I then sent the exact same message. I explained what I had done and sent the exact same message to my friend David Sonnenberg, who managed Meatloaf and Jimmy Steinman his entire career, to which I got back, yeah. Yeah, and Peter said the same thing, yeah. He was in just a different league. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama.
Go see him tonight.
Just get up and go any day that I want it to.
distraction, distraction. It's all about distraction. I'll show Michael cute pics of Bootsy Hammer and the captain. And when Mr. Tony's finished with the emails, finished talking, I'll tell Mr. Tony that Chessie needs a walk-in. Finally, I'll distract Nigel with this small finagle. Over there, bagel sandwiches from Bethesda Bagel. And when distractions are complete and no one's on the beat, I'll whistle and the guys will drive a motorhome up the street. I promise we won't cut the wires or mess up Tony's cable, but I'm stealing Uncle Benny's table. I've had my sights on it for years. For a long time now I've known it. I just gotta own it. The stories, the secrets it must hold. Freud playing poker, I must fold. Dillinger, his body growing cold. Where Houdini used to hide his gold. I respect the nails and varnish. I've held off as long as I am able. But today I'm stealing Uncle Benny's table.